Elder Barnabas Brown, the Lord be with you.
The Lord.
It is always good to be in the house of the Lord, and it's really good when you feel like the Lord has impressed something on your mind. But at the time, I wouldn't know much about that. But it is good to be here, and Brother Gary. If you have your Bibles and want to read along or follow along, Psalm 111. And I have went back and forth. Anyway, it said, "Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart, in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, sought out of them that have pleasure therein. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endureth forever. He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He hath given meat unto them that fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. He has showed his people the power of his works, that he may give them the heritage of the heathen. The works of his hands are verity and judgment. All his commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever, and are done in truth and uprightness. He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever." One reason that we are on this earth is to praise our God.
Amen.
But we're told to praise him with our whole heart, in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. I would think that this congregation here would meet one or two of those stipulations. In the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. I would hope it would be an upright congregation. Well, at least I think it is. Let's put it that way. But we're to praise our God, and we're to praise him for all of his works. We're to praise him every day. You know, I sometimes fall asleep with old Baptist hymns ringing in my ears and into my heart, I believe.
It makes you sleep good.
Yeah. I wake up with songs of praise in my heart. Most time, I pray before I get up. And when the weather is conducive to walking outside, I walk up on the hill and I look out at what I call mountains. They're really hills, but it's all we got. And I thank God for that. And I stand in awe of his power. How could you look at hills and mountains and trees and flowers and everything in creation and not stand in awe that God made it? Not only did he make that, but he made the sun, the moon, the stars. they still revolve. They haven't smashed into one another like it would do if we made a little toy or something. It would all get sprizzle sprung, as Daddy used to say, and self-destruct. I stand amazed at any human that has the mental ability to walk, that it could think that this world come into existence by a big bang. I do. I stand in amazement. How could anyone with enough sense to function, I'm saying, think that the world just happened to be? With all the order that's in the world, no chaos, not in the heavens, there's a lot down here, but there's no chaos in anything that God made. He said, the works of the Lord are sought out of them that have pleasure therein. I come down the road, I look for all kind of animals. I look for the mountains. When I get near Frederick, there's a whole bunch of mountains. And if I go down towards Front Royal, there's plenty of mountains everywhere on 340 before you turn into dinosaurs, and then on down, there's still plenty. Every once in a while, you even got a bear down there. Yeah, I saw the bear down there. I saw the blue lights coming towards me when I passed by the bear, so I assumed they was after the bear. But he said his work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endureth forever.
Amen.
Now that might not sound like much to you. I hope it does. But his righteousness endureth forever. I shudder to think how we would feel if God was like us and changed, you know, on a dime or whatever terminology you want to use. If God was changeable, where would your safety be? Where would your security be? Where would your hope be? He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. Now, I am eternally thankful for that. He's full of compassion. One place said his compassion faileth not. But we live in a world today where that, for the most part, if you're in the family or if you're in tight with somebody, they got some compassion. But if you're a child, born or unborn, or someone that they don't know, there's not so much compassion there. He hath given meat unto them that fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. God didn't have to do it, but on occasion he went so far as to remember the covenant he made with Abraham, Moses, Isaac, you know. He remembered his covenant. And every once in a while, one will cry out to him to remember his covenant. He doesn't forget anything, and he knows everything. I don't see any real threat of him forgetting his covenant. Now, marriage covenants and things like that are totally ignored in today's world, not only here, but all around the land. But anyway, he has showed his people the power of his works, that he might give them the heritage of the heathen. I think we heard a little bit about Stephen, either here or on the way down listening to the CDs. But Stephen was stoned to death merely because he recounted the leaving of Israel out of Egypt coming into the promised land. And I always stand amazed at that. They looked upon him He looked as if a face of an angel. And they stoned him to death anyway. But his works are verity and judgment. All his commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever and are done in truth and uprightness. That's the way our God works. Every once in a while people will say, but how could God do that? That's not fair. The Creator God, and someone has the audacity to say that He's not fair. He is God and He changes not. He can do His own will and does in the armies of heaven and amongst the inhabitants of the earth. And none could say, what doest thou? He's God. I mean, even men that get exalted in power and position, or they have all the guns and the others don't have any, they act like that they're real true rulers, but they don't stand in uprightness. Verse 10 said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The good understanding have all they that do His commandments. His praise endureth forever. I think that there is a tendency for people to take that fear as fearing the police. If you're walking in the city at night and something just broke down the street. The fear of the Lord is because of His almighty power. And because we know that He created all that is or was created. He did it. And it didn't exert Him too much. He just said, let it be. Yeah. Let there be. People talk about creating things. Well, they have created a lot. Confusion. Ungodliness. We have the ability to make things, but we make them out of what's here. We don't make them out of nothing like God did. He made them out of things which did not appear. But that's the wisdom, and a good understanding have all they that do His commandments. And His praise endureth forever. We are to praise God. We are to speak to Him in a holy, reverential way. Which that word's too hard for me. But we are to speak to Him like that. About Him like that. I cannot even in my own inner self, with no one here, and I cannot speak of God without using the thou and all those words that apply to God. I can't just say He. No. He demands our praise. He demands our love and our respect. And we cannot do those things. But those that were paying attention noticed that I missed the verse. That was on purpose. Verse 9. He sent redemption unto His people. He hath commanded His covenant forever. Holy and reverend is His name. If we turn to the book of Luke 1, I believe it is. That's not Luke, that's Mark. We find that in verse 68 of Luke 1, It said, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. Verse 49, which applies to the latter part of verse 9 in the Psalms, for he that is mighty hath done great things, and holy is his name. I don't have any patience at all for any man other than those that have the children, and we're talking about the children. Nobody should be called father. Nobody should be called reverend. And especially nobody should be called a holy right reverend. I guess that's a term, I don't know. But I know they hook two or three of them there together. When you read in this book that holy and reverend is his name, the name of our God is holy and reverend. There's not a man walking among us now, in the future, or in the past, other than Jesus Christ, that has the ability to be called those names without it being absolutely out of order. I love my natural father because of who he was, because of how he acted, because of what he did, and what he didn't do. I mean, he was true to his word. He'd leave for work about 6:15 in the morning. He'd wake us up. Sometime he'd say, when I get home, you're getting a whooping. I don't know when or if he ever explained it, but he said, when I get home, you're getting a whipping. When he got home, we got a whipping. He never forgot. He never backed down. He never backed off. Some of them I got, I thought I didn't deserve. And I know I got away with a lot. But anyway, when I saw him not too long before he died, I thought I'd get him. I said, Dad, I remember a lot of times you gave me a whipping and I didn't do what I got the whipping for. Just take it for one of the ones you got away with. I mean, what's not to love about that?
Yeah.
But anyway, this verse said he sent redemption unto his people. Mm-hmm. This is way back in the Psalms. He sent redemption unto his people.
Yeah.
Now, you can take that as he sent redemption to the people in Egypt. But I think it means more than that. I think it means what it says. He sent redemption to his people. In verse, or one of the Psalms here, it says that God is our Savior. He sent redemption. I want to thank him today especially, because he sent redemption to his people.
Amen.
And I want to thank him that standing here at this moment, I think I'm one of those. And I praise his great and holy name because he sent redemption. I grew up doing the very best I knew how. I didn't lie, I didn't steal, I didn't cheat, I didn't do anything wrong. I was a right good little boy. But you know, it come a time when I decided I'm not worth a hoot. I've sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. And I started going to some of them so-called churches up north. And they pretty much told me what Brother John said one time, it's either turn or burn. And I knew better. You might die before you get home tonight if you don't make a confession right here in front of these people. Well, I didn't make no confession in front of them people, and I never saw them again as long as I lived, because that wasn't what I believed. And I started making the 600-mile, 700-mile round trip to go down south to go to church. And I joined the church not too long after that. They were singing that song. Said, "Thy blood can cleanse the foulest stain." I went up and asked a pastor, "Do you believe what you're singing?" "Oh yeah." I said, "How about me?" "No, not you. We can't have you." So we had a little conversation between me and him and the church. I offered to go and never come back. They said, "No, you stay, you leave." So that's how that worked out. So after they got another pastor and one thing another, I was accepted into the church. Church still stands, and I'm the only member left. But he sent redemption for his people. Now, we fully understand, as near as I know, at least I do, that some that have never really learnt the doctrine are still yet God's people. Some in the establishment, so-called churches, or God's people. Not all of them have been brought to the full knowledge of the truth. I believe that. But be that as it may, I'm thankful that he led me to the true church. I'm thankful that he sent redemption. I mean, you can talk back and forth about just exactly when he sent it, but it was settled way back before we were. Back before I was born or anybody kin to me was born. Any way, shape, or form. Yeah, back before Adam and Eve, and back before the eight that was on the ark. That plan was made. And in the mind and purpose of God, we stand redeemed. Even before we were born, before we knew God, and before he worked in our hearts. But work he did. All of God's people, I think, will have some knowledge of that somewhere between the womb and the tomb. They'll have knowledge of that. And they'll praise his great and holy name like we started out with. We are to praise God. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all ye creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That's where we are today. We are to praise him with every ounce of our being. Many ministers from time to time stay away from home a great deal. I remember one that stayed away from home a lot. His wife never said a word. Never. That was my dad. He would drive 500 miles. Of course, he took 2 days. I was not that smart. I did it in one. But anyway, he would drive 500 miles. He would go all over the mountains of Virginia to church. And she went most time. Some of the trips to Newport News, especially after their kids come along, she didn't do them. But he still went. Never stayed home because of a birthday or holiday, or he just didn't. I don't think the Apostle Paul shied much either. He just went where the Spirit led him. which is what we're supposed to do, by the way. If you feel that redemption has been sent, there's no grounds for debate. I've been told probably a year ago my wife found out I was using a GPS. Now, I never hid it from her. She just didn't pay any attention. But she said, if you have to use a GPS, you shouldn't be going. And I said, yeah. And if you can leave your purse with credit cards and everything in a buggy in Sears and walk out the door and get in the car and leave, you shouldn't be shopping. I haven't heard too much about the GPS lately, but I've since quit using it. Use the phone now. It's much easier. I went all over the country. I've been accused of being able to find anywhere in the continental United States that had an Old Baptist church. And I did. I found everyone I ever looked for. Whether it was Sidling Hill, three churches, wherever it was. I remember going to three churches. We were talking about that at lunch. And I get this thrown at me a lot. You can't even go on vacation without going to church while you're on vacation. That's true. I went to three churches. Some roads don't even have signs up there. Some are hardtop, some are gravel. I stopped at a store and the lady said, we're not open. I said, but you're standing here. I only want a question. Do you know how to get to three churches? Church. Yes, but you don't want to go there. There's not enough people there. You want to go down the road to this other church. I said, well, actually, I want to go to three churches. Well, just go down that road down there, and once you go drive through the creek, river, whatever, you know you're getting close. It's on your left side. So we found it. And while I was there, the young lady I was telling about, she offered to the church, and they wouldn't take her. She was young. Jesus said, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven. I was on vacation. I didn't have any extra clothes. I'd have went in the water with what I had on. Sunday go to meeting best. I'd have went in the water. I'd have baptized her if Elder Harriet wasn't able. But it was somebody up there that wasn't there. I forget if it was the deacon or whatever, but they wanted to wait till they all got together. But they're still waiting. Church is shut down, they're still waiting. Because the family moved away. Went someplace else. But from listening to that young lady, I would say that God has sent redemption to her. If one of them can testify about anything that you ask most other folk, and I never did interrogate people for an hour and a half, but I would ask a few questions. Sometimes it's like it's interrogation going on. They just want to know if they'll be accepted among you. They're not asking you and telling you that if you make a mistake, you're gone too. They're not doing that. They're just, you know, it's them. But God sent redemption to His people. And what a redemption that was. You know, we see Jesus high and lifted up. He's lifted up between the heavens and the earth. And before that, he was scourged, he was spat upon, he was smitten, he was blindfolded and then hit and said, you know, tell us who did it. He knew who did it. It wouldn't accomplish anything to say the name. He knew exactly who it was that hit him every time. He knew who it was that caused him to be up there. And it was not those people you might imagine. It was us. All the redeemed family of God is what put him on the cross. It wasn't those out there that's, you know, living kind of contrary to the laws of God. You know, unless they're changed between now and death. It wasn't them. It's his redeemed family. He died for us. He did not die for the world at large. He died for his redeemed people, those that were chosen in Christ Jesus before the dust of the highest hills was ever laid, to use an old-timey expression. Which is true. It's true. We can spend all day and half of tomorrow, and we'll never understand it. We'll never be able to explain it other than to say, it seemeth good to him to do it. He created everybody. He had a right to do what he will with his own. And we're his own in more ways than one. We're assembled here today feeling to be a justified people. A redeemed people, bought by the blood of the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God. The only one that ever was sinless. The one that left the high chimes of glory to come down here to die for us. Can you imagine being in heaven in immortal glory? And voluntarily giving that up to come down here and die, to be mistreated, crucified, smitten. Common sense cannot ration that. But God and Jesus are way past that. He had a covenant. That covenant had to be upheld. That covenant had to be carried out. And redemption must come. And redemption did come in the form of a little babe. Some people exalt the mother of that child. And she does say that everywhere this gospel is preached, that she would be praise somewhat. But she also said she needed a Savior herself. It took her son that was born of God to redeem Mary. Mary cannot redeem you. Mary cannot answer your prayers. And there's no sense in trying to call out to Mother Mary. It's just no sense in it. It will not accomplish anything other than to heap coals of fire upon your own head. Mary, there in the first and second chapter of Luke, acknowledged that she needed a Savior. Praise be to God, she had one. She said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. She didn't say, my soul doth magnify my son. She said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. And she had a redeemer. And it was the Lord Jesus Christ. And so do we. And let's praise his name.
Amen.